connection with the sacrament of baptism, we consider the Word of God in Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 16, 1 through 16 of this chapter. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. You shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. They called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. When Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mountain of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. There arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baalim, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. We read God's word thus far and direct our attention now, especially to verse 10. Judges 2, verse 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. We have been reminded again this morning, beloved, that the Lord has blessed our congregation with many children, and reminded of that not only this morning but also in recent weeks as well. That gives us as a congregation good hope concerning our future as a church. But our future as a reformed and faithful congregation of God's people, you understand, is not automatically secure. Having many children doesn't automatically guarantee that we will remain as a faithful Church of Christ in the years to come. That comes only in the way when, by the direction and power of the grace of God in us, we fulfill our calling to teach our children the things of God. That's the means that God is pleased to use. And that's why the Lord, throughout Scripture, gives much instruction to the church and much instruction to parents concerning teaching and training and nurturing and disciplining and guiding and bringing up the children that God gives to us. The church is called to do that, but especially parents are called to do that. It starts with the parents. It's first of all the responsibility of the parents. The responsibility to teach your children spiritual things. The responsibility, in the words of our text, to teach your children to know Jehovah and to know Jehovah's works. The text is a warning. You could say in a certain way this is a very negative text. But a warning from God, a warning from Christ, a warning to us to take the instruction of our covenant children very seriously. It is a serious thing because on account of God's covenant and God's covenant promise to include the children of believers in the church, the children that God has entrusted to you are God's children, children that are precious to Him. And the instruction of those children is serious also because it is of eternal significance. It concerns the salvation of their souls. And so may we all, by the grace of God, take that calling seriously and be very diligent so that it is not said one day here that all that generation was gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them in Dune PRC that did not know the Lord, nor yet the works that the Lord had done for them. May God spare us from that. Consider with me then a generation that knew not Jehovah, and notice the meaning, the reason, and the significance. In the closing chapter of the previous book, the book Joshua, Joshua himself called the nation of Israel to come together to meet him. He knew he soon would die. And he called them together in order to give a speech to them, a very stirring speech. He recounted for them their history. And he spoke to them in that chapter, Joshua chapter 24, as an old man, concerning the great works that God had done for Israel. And then Joshua, in doing so, concluded with a very significant command to them and a very significant confession on his part in connection with that command. You read of that in Joshua 24, verses 13 and 14. 14 and 15. Verse 14, the command he gave to them was this: Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And then he made this significant confession, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you who this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. And then this, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Even if we are the only ones, by the grace of God, we will serve Jehovah. And the people responded to that. Verse 16, the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. The people said with Joshua, we also will serve Jehovah. And they did. They did. They were faithful. They served Jehovah for many years. So that we read in verse 7 of chapter 2 of Judges, just prior to our text, this, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. They served the Lord. But then come the disturbing words of our text. There arose a generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. A whole generation, not simply one family out of one tribe, and not simply one tribe out of the 12 tribes that did not know Jehovah and the works of Jehovah, but an entire generation, the children of every family and the children of every tribe, this whole new generation in the church did not serve the Lord. You can be sure there was still an elect remnant there in the nation that was faithful. But the nation as a whole was ignorant. Ignorance of Jehovah and ignorance of the works of Jehovah was the chief characteristic now of the nation of Israel. And this new generation was in the church. And not only that, but this new generation was the generation of those who were now the leaders in the church. They were the adults. They were the heads of the families. They were the elders of the tribes. But they were ignorant. Ignorant of Jehovah and ignorant of the works that he had done. Church was in danger of being destroyed through lack of knowledge. Hosea 4, verse 6. What does it mean, though, that they did not know Jehovah? Well, this does not mean that the nation knew nothing at all about Jehovah. They grew up in the church, they were surrounded by and they were very familiar with the things of God. They saw the tabernacle, they saw the priests busy at their work every day in the tabernacle, they observed the offerings that took place daily in the tabernacle. Intellectually, they had a knowledge of God, and intellectually, they had a knowledge of Jesus Christ, that everything pointed to in all of that worship and service of God at the tabernacle. So the fact that they did not know Jehovah meant that they did not have a saving knowledge of Jehovah. That word know refers to an intimate and a personal knowledge. That is the knowledge of a true faith, the knowledge of a saving faith. Refers to knowing Jehovah in love for Him. Refers to knowing Jehovah as their covenant God, which is that name which expresses that He is so. It refers to them knowing God as their Father, and knowing God as their Savior, and knowing God as their friend, and loving Him, and walking with Him, and in thankfulness for His grace to them, serving Him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. This new generation did not know Jehovah in that way. They knew about Him, at least a little, but they didn't know Him. They didn't love Him. They didn't fellowship with Him consciously. They didn't believe in Him. They didn't trust Him. They didn't obey Him. And so, as the rest of the chapter demonstrates, they worshipped and served other gods instead. The text tells us that they also did not know the works of Jehovah. They did not know what Jehovah had done for Israel. And you understand, beloved, there is a close relationship between these two, between knowing Jehovah and knowing the works of Jehovah. And that relationship is this: cause and effect. Because they did not know Jehovah's works, they did not know Jehovah, the cause and the effect. And the reason they did not know Jehovah was because they were ignorant of His works. He had revealed Himself through His works, through the works that He had done for Israel. Remember, they did not have the Scripture yet. We have the whole of the Word of God. They had only the 5 books of Moses. They did not have the complete revelation of God. And so the way in which God spoke to them and revealed Himself to them and made the gospel known to them was especially through His works to them, in addition to the word that He brought by the mouth of prophets. He revealed the gospel to them through His works. But they didn't know His works, and therefore they didn't know Him. He had done great works. As Joshua had reminded them in Joshua chapter 24, He chose them and separated them unto Himself when He called Abram from Ur of the Chaldees out of heathendom, and separated Abram to be the head of the church and of the nation of Israel. He had done great works for them when He brought them into Egypt so that there they could multiply and prosper and become a great nation. And then He had done this great work for them. He had delivered them from Egypt and destroyed their enemies and protected them in all of their wanderings in the wilderness. And then He gave them the land of Canaan. As Joshua made clear in Joshua 24, verses 12 and 13, God destroyed mighty nations before them. God delivered all of the inhabitants of the land into the hands of the children of Israel. God gave them a land that they did not labor for. God gave them cities which they did not build. And God gave them fields that they did not plant. He had done great works for them. He had richly blessed and prospered them. Outstanding works of God. Spectacular works of God. How could anyone forget them? But they did. They did. And these were not just ordinary works of God. These were not simply, as we might say, works of providence. But these were works of God through which God revealed himself as Jehovah to them. These were works through which he revealed himself as their Savior. These were works through which God was revealing Christ to them. He was revealing Christ to them in their deliverance from the land of Egypt. The blood of Christ, the deliverance from the bondage to sin. He was revealing Christ to them by protecting them in the wilderness and providing for them the manna, the bread from heaven, and the grace of God in to them in the wilderness in forgiving their sins of hard-heartedness and stiff-neckedness and rebellion against God. How gracious God was. And revealing Christ to them by bringing them into the land of Canaan, in which they could live in a land that typified life in heaven, possible only because they were his people in Christ. And Christ had opened up the way for them to dwell with God. Surrounded by all these mighty and significant saving works of God, and being the objects of those works of God, works that declared the grace of God to them in Christ, this generation said, those works are of no value to us. They're not worth remembering. They were interested only in the earthly advantages that they got because they were Israel. The earthly advantages they got because they were in the church. The earthly riches, the earthly land, the earthly pleasures, the earthly prosperity, and the earthly peace. They did not know Jehovah's works, and they did not know Jehovah. They didn't love and didn't serve the Lord. What about us? And specifically, beloved, what about the next generation here? Is it a generation that knows Jehovah and his works? Or is it a generation that is ignorant of Jehovah and his works? Why did this happen? Well, the text itself does not specifically state what the problem, what the cause was, but the context certainly does. The context that we have mentioned from Joshua chapter 24, where Joshua said in Joshua 24 verse 15, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That answers the question, beloved, how do children come? How do our children come to know Jehovah and to know the works of Jehovah? And the answer is, it doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen simply because they are the children of believing parents. It doesn't happen simply because they are members with us of a faithful Church of Christ by God's grace. It doesn't happen simply because they attend Christian schools, but it happens because God uses parents. It happens because God uses parents and the work of teaching their children, passing on the works of God from one generation to the next, passing on the word of God from one generation to the next. And parents passing on, therefore, the knowledge of God from one generation to the next. Isaiah 38, verse 19, the father to the children shall make known thy truth. And that's exactly what did not happen in Israel. That's exactly what parents in Israel did not do. The parents took a vow with Joshua and said, Joshua, you have confessed that you and your house will serve the Lord, and we will confess it with you. We and our families will serve the Lord. That's what they said, but that's not what they did. They didn't keep their vow. They stopped teaching their children. They stopped instructing them concerning Jehovah. They didn't instruct their children concerning the mighty works of Jehovah, the wonderful works he had done in saving them from the land of Egypt and protecting them through the wilderness and bringing them safely into the land of Canaan to dwell with him. And even if they taught their children the history, they failed to teach their children the spiritual and the saving significance of that history. They failed to teach their children that their deliverance from Egypt was the gospel of God's saving grace to deliver them from slavery to sin. They didn't teach that. They didn't teach their children that God's work of protecting them from all who opposed them in the wilderness was God's work of protecting them from their arch enemy, the devil. They didn't teach that. And they didn't teach their children that their entrance into the land of Canaan was of spiritual significance because it pictured their entering eternally into the glories of heaven to dwell and live with God there forever. And therefore, they failed to teach their children the gospel. They failed to teach their children concerning God's grace to them in Christ. They lost their first love for God and for his truth and for the gospel of his grace, and they stopped teaching it to their children. And so a generation arose that was ignorant. And this history, beloved, teaches us, you could say, a very frightening lesson. Namely this, that this apostasy happened very quickly. It is true it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen in terms of weeks and months. But it did happen in just one generation. One generation. The previous generation served the Lord, verse 7. The very next generation turned away from Jehovah and embraced the world and its religion, verses 11 and following. They served Baal and Ashtaroth. They can happen very quickly. And it ought to make us shudder. It can happen very quickly here too. But for the grace of God that preserves us. I'm sure, beloved, the salvation of your children is very important to you. I'm sure you don't want them to be ignorant of God and ignorant of His works. You want them to know Jehovah. You want them to know Him as their covenant God. You want them to know Christ. You want them to know the wonderful gospel of God's grace to us in Christ. You realize that any child and any person who does not know Jehovah and does not know the works of Jehovah is someone who is not saved. Desiring the salvation of your children, then may you also take to heart the urgent warning and calling of our text. Teach, instruct your children. Teach your children to know Jehovah. Teach them to know Jehovah's works. Teach them to know Jehovah not simply intellectually, not simply so that they know about Him, but teach them to know Him as their God who loves them. To know Him as the God whom they love, as their gracious Savior in Christ. Teach them to seek God. Teach them to be thankful to God for His grace toward them as sinners. Teach them to serve the Lord. That requires parents teaching your children about the things of God in your home. Not merely teaching your children how to succeed in school and how to succeed in life. Not merely teaching your children how to increase in their knowledge of earthly things, though that is an important part of their education, but not simply that. And not simply that so that you can say one day when they succeed with their high school degrees and their college degrees and their pursuit of a career, that you can be proud of them and consider yourself a successful parent because of that. In the end, those things don't amount to much at all, except they are used in the service of God and of His church. The text is speaking about spiritual instruction. Teaching your children the scriptures, teaching them through reading the scriptures with them, teaching them through prayer, teaching them through the catechism instruction that is provided for them. Teaching them through the discipline that you apply to your children for their sins. Discipline that corrects them for sin. And discipline that points them to Christ. That sort of teaching. and teaching them by your example. If your first love for the gospel grows cold, you lose that first love, then you're teaching your children to lose it too. And then also teaching your children by bringing them to church so that they hear the preaching of the word, because just as the preaching of the word is for us the chief means of grace, it's no less the chief means of grace for our children. And then also making sure they learn what is right and what is spiritually beneficial for them, that is, that they learn the knowledge of Jehovah and learn the knowledge of the works of Jehovah through their school education. Being very thankful as parents for the good, not perfect, but good, very good Christian schools that God provides us for that purpose. And doing that out of gratitude. This gratitude. You're thankful for the marvelous salvation of God in Christ, of yourself personally. A sinner saved by grace. A sinner protected. A sinner preserved. A sinner given comfort, a sinner given the hope of heaven. What greater motivation can there be except that great gratitude to God for what God has done for you personally? And now that you may teach your children concerning God and Christ and his grace. What a motivation to do so. And it cannot be denied that it is a demanding and a difficult work because of the effort that is involved, the time that it takes, the spiritual focus that is required. A difficult work because sometimes you receive resistance from your children. They're not interested. Or they don't want to take too much time to listen and to learn. Difficult because of the discipline that must be applied. It's needed, but it's difficult. To discipline them in love and to discipline them in such a way that you point them to Christ. But God is our covenant God, and God is faithful, and God is pleased to use weak means to fulfill his purpose to save believers and their seed. And he blesses the faithful labors of faithful parents with this, the greatest possible blessing, using it for the eternal salvation of your children. May that, beloved, spur us on to be faithful, so that when you parents are no longer here, this will be said: there arose a new generation in Doon Protestant Reformed Church that knew Jehovah and that knew the works of Jehovah and that loved him and served him. May God so direct our future for his glory and the salvation of our children. Amen. Our God and our Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Apply it to us by Thy Spirit. Grant us Thy blessing. Give us encouragement. And lead us by Thy Spirit to be faithful in raising the next generation in the fear of Thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.